Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And I hope everybody is nice and cozy and warm and drinking some hot chocolate or coffee. This is actually hot chocolate, Scott. I don't drink coffee.
There you go. Yeah. Seasonal warm beverage.
Yes, yes.
Now, we're not literally brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral. I mean, they don't pick us up and carry us here. But, in fact, they are sponsoring the show and do all the contracting.
They pay for my salary.
And march us in a parade of wonderful Imperial County Behavioral Health employees and of course, our executive producer, Mario Espinosa, who's on the board. Kenny Ghetto's on the board, but he is the executive producer of the show. And today is no exception. We have Renee Rodriguez here, and Renee has a Master's of Social Work. Have you got the licensed clinical thing going yet?
I'm working on that. First of all, good morning, everybody. My name's Renee Rodriguez. I am working towards my license. I have approximately close to 1,800 hours now.
Do they do like an obstacle course or something? Are you doing push-ups and?
Well, I do that on my own, but
for the stress.
But that's not required. But yeah, to deal with stress is something that we all have to work with.
Is it multiple choice? What number two pencil?
Oh, you're talking about the board.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's multiple choice, and then there's also scenarios that they give you, and they ask you, they give you a situation, and you have to try to evaluate the whole. The individual or the family and find a treatment plan. And I'm not exactly familiar as to the whole process because I have not reached that point yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm imagining like an old Henny Youngman routine where Henny comes out and it's like kind of smoky Las Vegas-y and comes out and says, yeah, so this guy walks into the bar and he's a little bit depressed and you're sitting there having to, the punchline's going to, you're going to have to deliver the punchline in order to pass your licensing test.
And that's something that is part of the process. That's something that with each day that we work with clients, we're learning more and more. And Imperial County Behavioral Health has excellent training that is part of the whole training picture. So they can make us very reliable helping the individuals of the county.
You know, I'm going to call the Board of Behavioral Sciences and give you some points for that answer because that was good. That was you're right on focus here.
You know, it's just the truth. It's reality, and that's what I'm. I'm very happy. I show a lot of gratitude for that.
Nice. Well, and the other thing is you're a local person, right?
Yeah.
So you born and raised here?
No, I wasn't born here. Transplanted from Los Angeles. Okay, I'm from East Los Angeles.
East LA.
You've been here for a gazillion years, or what?
No, at 17, I joined the Marine Corps. And from the Marine Corps, I came back and moved to this area to get away from the Los Angeles area for obvious reasons.
The climate.
I was in the federal
the
government. I was in the federal government most of my life. I retired from the Postal Service a couple of years back due to the crisis that's going on with the Postal Service. Let people off. So,
An ongoing crisis.
Ongoing crisis. It hasn't stopped. And I received my master's at around 2000 and since been working medical social work. I've been doing behavior work with Motiva Associates and the medical social work with Ivy Home Healthcare. And I go to the homes, and that's what got me really interested in working with mental disorders and trying to learn more.
Wow. It's great to have you.
And thanks. Yes, and you work with children and adults.
Right now I'm working with children in Calexico FRC, adults at the San Pascual FRC, and I see both children and adults at that venue.
Yeah, so give it up for Renee Rodriguez,
yeah.
People, unless you're driving. hands on the wheel. All right, so we're here today. We have a topic, 337-8874. We have a phone number, and we have snowbirds in the valley, so it's probably a good time to go where you want to go today.
It's pretty cold, so yeah, they might have to go more south.
Our migrating population's here hanging out with us. Welcome aboard, people. It's was really warm while you were gone, but it's cooled off a little now, so thank you for bringing that with you.
It's cold.
And we're going to talk today about our elders. Well, not my elders anymore. I'm part of the club. But, you know, the rest of the, you know, young people's elders and what their lives are like and what, in terms of mental health,
yes,
what's going on and how to kind of keep that going and working in their favor, right?
That's right. And Scott and Maria, I'd like to preface this by saying that the baby boomer generation started this year, January of 2011. Every day since January 1st, there has been 60,000 people entering the age 65.
So they're
every day.
They're like, yes, little lemmings jumping off the cliff of old age, or what?
65. Well, so what? 65 is the age of.
It's the official age of oldness or something.
Well, the official age of qualifying.
Until we get there, and we're going to like roll it back.
Yeah, and that,
like,
Maria,
90.
That's for full Social Security benefits.
Yes, yes.
And the problem with that is it's expanding so much where the Social Security lockbox seems to be depleting. And not only that, the financial picture that we have, it's really unique what's going on in a global sense, the economy.
In a global sense, we're pretty well than compared to the European countries.
Yeah, we're not far behind them.
We're not far behind, but...
Indeed, I think it's the global checking account, and you have a bunch of people who can sign checks.
No, the thing is that in economy-wise, you know, investors still want to invest in the U.S. What is the best of the worst, or the worst, least worst ones?
Yeah, you know, but who knows who knows where Citibank put their money?
Yeah, and those 401ks also have been depleting because of the stock market.
Sure. I hear the stock market every day. How many points it's gone up? How many points has gone down? It goes down. My retirement also goes down. And
people are living longer, and what's going to happen in the future for those interested in
this is like a prophecy moment. Okay, go ahead.
Going into any type of profession, working with gerontology, working with older adults, is going to be very expensive.
The good news is the baby boomers are turning older, so there should be plenty of work for everybody working with the geriatric population, because the baby boomers still basically control public policy in the voting bloc, and it's going to be about them. And so there probably is going to be all sorts of mad love now given to geriatric populations, because now they are geriatric, right?
That'll be interesting when generation...
They'll take it away
Gen Y.
Yeah, by the time we're there, they'll take it away. Don't worry.
You know, and that's the whole thing, Maria and Scott, that as the baby boomer generation advances in years, we're going to see a lot more multiplication of diseases like Alzheimer's, which is a big thing right now, Parkinson's disease. And how does it affect the quality of life for these individuals that have been independent throughout their lives?
Well, I guess if you say, okay, I'm 65 and I'm 70 and I want to have the life of a 25-year-old, you're not going to feel very good, are you?
No.
You're going to be a little bit disappointed, aren't you? Well, I don't know. I'm going to be, because I can't do half of that stuff anymore, right?
You know, and the declining health can bring a never-ending parade of grief.
Well, if that health is compared to 25-year-old's health, absolutely, because you're not 25 anymore.
Yes.
Bouncing out of bed and fall off a cliff and nothing bad happens, you know. Now you stumble and your hip's broken, you know. And
Scott, what that leads into, just what you said right now, your hip's broken. You have problems concentrating. You have cognitive problems. What does that lead to? Emotional problems, emotional conditions. A lot of people who are trying to figure out how to survive throughout the day, there's depression. And depression in itself goes along hand in hand with anxiety.
Well, we're always coping, right? I mean, young people are coping with not being aware of how silly they are. You know, middle-aged people are coping with getting careers and getting security and safety and establishing families and all that other stuff. And old people are coping with impending death.
Yes, age. Life. You know, when you're young, you don't think about death.
No, you don't think.
You know, you have all these years ahead of you, and that changes. And
it's tail chasing, but it's happy tail chasing.
Yeah.
So
And a lot of people are not going to complain that I feel depressed. That's a statistical anomaly for somebody to say that. To say, I'm really depressed. I really need intervention. Can you please help me?
Well, sure. I mean, it's like a fish saying, I'm in water. Yeah, I think it's really hard sometimes to realize that you're in a certain place because you're in the place and you're surrounded by it, so it's hard to tell.
No, and then all your life you've taken care of other people. You know, your children. You know, first you took care of yourself. You became independent. You took care of yourself. You got married. You got your kids. You were taking care of them.
You're a valuable person.
Yes, and now you're older and
can't even
take
care of yourself.
Yes.
Ooh.
Precisely. So that's why, Maria, they're not going to say that I'm depressed. I feel very anxious every day. They're going to express that distress.
I'm strong, independent, and I don't want to go to a nursing home. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
Another way, another way, when it's a complaint like that, it's going to be a somatic type of complaint. I have headaches. Mm-hmm. I have stomach aches. I have a backache. I feel very fatigued. And they're going to spend much of their time in bed.
Withdrawing activities.
From society. You know, rather, what they're going to be is passive observers.
Watching TV.
Rather than active participants in society. So what happens is they're at home and they're going through a lot of these problems. Some of them there's a symptom called obsessive compulsive disorder, where a lot of these people they become very anxious and they don't know what to do. So, hey, wait a minute, there's an multiplication, there's an expansion of casinos everywhere. So, hey, maybe I ought to try the casino. That gets me more excited, has me participating in those activities.
So
but what is the consequences?
Chronic casino elders
lose their income.
Chronic casino elders. Because there are some elders who, you know, hang out in casinos, right? I mean,
they have buses that
to
take
each
them
their
to
own. Well, yeah. So is that actually a disorder? Is that a treatable mental health condition? Or is that an older person doing what is now entertaining to them within their field of practicing life?
I think if they start losing their money and they don't have enough money to eat.
And they still go.
And they still go.
And they still go.
And they still go.
And I've been to homes where they're trying to figure out, should I pay my rent? I think it's around 40% of seniors are reliant basically on their Social Security checks, their supplemental checks. Not many have retirement accounts.
Right. We call that not living wage in California.
Yes.
We call that poverty.
Yeah. So I just heard it right now in NPR that the gap between the rich and the poor is the greatest that it's ever been, and it's the most than in any of the other states.
Yes.
So here, living in California is very expensive.
And if you're in the elderly population, you drop 40% of your income on the average because you're not working anymore. You're reliant on the income.
You drop it into the Medi-Cal pharmaceutical donut hole. Yes. Because you've got so many meds to buy that you eventually get to the point where you have to pay for them.
And that's another story there. Thanks for the part D. But, however, these people are...
It's a stressor.
Yeah, when they keep obsessive, a lot of them start hoarding stuff. I got to prepare. What if something goes on tomorrow? What, you know, they start hoarding food? A lot of different issues. In my family, extended family, this one elderly person was hoarding pants, pots, clothes in a closet. Not until she passed away they found all that stuff. So it's fairly common, but people don't know about it because a lot of families go in and out. Mm-hmm. Kids are too busy. They go into home, hi mom, hi dad, how you doing? Here's a couple of things for you to keep busy, and I'll see you later. Not to discount, there are so many dedicated kids, cousins and grandkids who are involved. However, they only have so much time to expand.
Well, and our communication, if I may be so bold as to look at the younger people, fondling their iPhones.
Playing with their iPhones.
Our communication, you know, patterns have shifted in inexorable ways. It's not going backwards. And so where we used to, like, go over to talk to people, and then we had phones, and then we called them on the phones, now it's cell phones and Skyping and Facebook
texting,
and social networking.
Social work. And
some of the elderly people, you know, it's not a natural jump. You know, it's, I can't walk into my 85-year-old suegra's room and say, yo, suegra, sign up for Facebook. You can hang out with your family all the time.
You know, Scott, technology could be good. Technology could be bad. A lot of elderly are afraid of learning new things. They think
yes. It's
too complicated.
Change.
Back in the 40s, back in the 50s, when the computer was introduced, just a normal PC took a whole warehouse of information. Now it's so easy to use. I've seen elderly people. As a matter of fact, when I was in Walmart, I saw, you know, this gentleman on the text messaging, I don't know who, and at the same time, his wife was asking him what type of flavor of whatever drink he wants, and he wasn't listening to her. So they're introducing themselves slowly, especially the baby boomer generation. There were professionals, and they say, wait a minute, you know, let me jump into this technology.
Why did the little keyboard thing have to come at the same time that I lost my eyesight and my fingers lost their agility? You know,
I know.
It's like, ouch.
They're tiny.
It takes me an hour to text, and, you know, hi, how are you?
Well, yeah, adaptive eyewear is very important. And but they're coming out with a vision-impaired information systems that people could be using.
I'm waiting for the version that just does what I think.
Well, there's that dragon.
It's pretty soon. No. Remember, I was telling you, it's pretty soon. Contact lenses will have the information.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Something like that just kind of interfaces with me without me having to work harder.
Yeah,
that would work.
And you know, Scott, going back to the topic here, a lot of these elderly people are facing difficult situations, a phase in life. They have to adapt to a new way of living. It's strange. Scott, you're how old are you? 24, 23?
Times six.
And you retire. So let's just take, for example, Scott retires at 65. Scott decides, I want to live next to my kids over there in Lakeside. So Scott moves over to Lakeside. That's a difficult thing. You know your barber. You know your postal clerk.
That's right. My community members.
Everything. And to make a big move when you retire, it's not easy to introduce yourself to a new environment. And a lot of people do that. And with that, the high expectations of having their kids come and say, Dad, let's go fishing. Dad, let's do this.
Well, you know, and all the respect that I've built up in this community through years of loyal service and fairly consistent behavior is gone because I just went to a new community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yes.
Like, ah. Hey, speaking of which, I have to be consistent. It's 8 o'clock. We have to take a break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're here with Renee Rodriguez. We'll be back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. This show is brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. And, of course, our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And we forgot to mention also podcast. You can access this show and previous shows on KXORadio.com. Again, that is KXORadio.com.
Nice.
And click on podcast.
So again, snowbirds in the house, give us a call, 337-8874. We're here with Renee Rodriguez. He's a master's of social work. He's a social worker for Imperial County Behavioral Health. And we're talking about some of the challenges. I mean, it's funny, we haven't talked about the opportunities of aging yet. But we're talking about the challenges because sometimes those challenges lead to mental health problems, right?
That's
welcome
right.
back, Renee.
Yes.
Thank you very
depression
much.
Depression.
And that's correct. You know, if we have time, we could talk about treatment. We could talk about these other issues. However, as we were talking about, Scott, when a lot of the elderly or people who are retired, they tend to lose that social role. They internalize all these feelings,
yeah.
all these thoughts, rather than externalize
them. It is so depressing. I am.
You don't have to do that.
Exactly, but it's just, you know, okay, everybody's going to age. I'm going to age, you're going to age, we're all aging
if we're lucky,
every single second.
This building's still a little weird
minute.
After the earthquake, okay, if
yeah.
we're lucky.
It's we're aging every day. And, you know, just, what are the
why
opportunities?
There's a whole bunch of opportunities, Maria. There's volunteering nonprofit organizations. There's being able to socialize. Look, take for example, in Hopeville, Imperial, in Calexico, they have senior housing. They have these social rooms, rec rooms, recreation rooms, whatever you want to call them, where people could congregate, mm-hmm. where people could be able to share time. And there are beautiful places. And a lot of people, what do, Maria? They lock their door, draw the shades down, and they turn the tube on.
Mm-hmm.
And they start internalizing all these thoughts.
But it's just, you know, a lot has to do, a lot of people that I know that are young, they're still young, you know, they're my age, you know, they're 40. That's very young. Very young. And they have families. But really, what kind of hobbies do they have? You know, what kind of hobbies? Some of them don't have hobbies at all. All they do is, even now, right now, they just watch TV. They don't. When I'm saying kind of hobbies like they go hunting, they go fishing, they go out to the desert, they go to, you know, I don't know, skiing, to sand dunes. They have all these outdoor activities, biking, running.
Yes.
And I'm concerned about those, you know, my father, he loves horseback riding. You know, he's 81. I'm concerned about those people that, you know what, they were so active when they were young and unhealthy, and now as they're aging, they're not able to go hunting out in the mountains, you know, out over here at the desert. They can't go racing, off-road racing, because, you know, it's hard on their bodies.
Yeah.
fishing out in the ocean or, you know, the weather. It's just those people that have been so active in their lives that all of a sudden you put them in a rec room.
Ooh, ouch. I hear where you're going.
Exactly. What kind of life, you know, for some of them, and I've heard them tell me, that's not the quality of life that I wanted. I want to continue doing what I can. And if I can't do that, you know, what kind of life? And those are the ones I'm concerned because, for example, my father, he's still 81. He still went to drive a big rig truck.
No rec room for him.
Yeah, exactly. For him, put him in a rec room? No. Mm-mm. He still wants to go horseback riding. He still wants to, you know, do mechanics. He still wants to drive haul grapes up north. You know, those at 81. I don't know why DMV still gave him the license, but they gave them to him. Those are the ones I'm concerned of.
Maria,
it's just their life has been so.
And you'll be surprised how many people, when I go into their homes and they say, well, I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. I enjoy doing that. I stopped doing this 3 months ago because I got ill. Many times I have to be the one to tell them, you're blurring the different eras in your life. You are coming into a new era, and this is what you're able to handle now. Those other chapters
is,
in your
yeah,
life
and that
has
is
to
very
be,
hard.
Yeah, that's
that
unique
is
to
hard.
That era.
It's
very hard, but it's
very hard
something
because,
that they really
yeah,
got to work on.
I know, and it's very hard because if they were able to do the other things, that was their passion. That was what they loved to do. You know, not just sitting in a couch as, you know, watching every Sunday football or, you know, just not doing any very sedentary life, how we have a lot of the young people, even now, people just love to watch sports all day.
Yeah.
And that's their hobby.
World of War, whatever it
or,
is.
Or watch videos, yeah, mm-hmm. or play videos. MMOPG, that is their their world right now. That's well, that's their hobby. What is your hobby? I like to watch sports. I like football. What do you play? No, I just watch it.
Plug
do you
myself
like that?
Into my electronic
basketball,
devices
no, I just play it.
And let myself
so,
go.
Those, what I'm trying to say, from being very physical and very having, you know, that passion of doing, being out there, those are the ones, what can we do for them? How do you, you telling them, well, this is now their, this is how your life is. It's going to be very hard to accept. So how can you work with it? How can you?
We have a new medication called Acceptance. It comes in a little pill. You take that
you
pill.
You take it, and then
suddenly
they'll
everything's
be
okay.
Huh. Now they can be in a rec room.
And Maria, are these people, like your dad, was able to handle difficult situations throughout their life. They were able to meet challenges throughout their lives. They were able to make decisions throughout their life. You know that term, the elders, like church uses? It's because he's supposed to be full of wisdom. And there's many things that they could think of doing. They decide if I can be set, if I can be idle every day watching TV. They decide what they're going to do. There's a lot of things they could do. Make friends with your neighbors. Many are going through the same situation. Their kids are gone. They're by themselves. There's volunteers, as I said. They could think of volunteering maybe at a horse, one of those horse, what do you call them, corrals? I'm not a horse guy.
Mm-hmm.
They could take up hobbies, gardening. There's one gentleman I went to in Westmoreland in senior housing, my God. And this guy worked in the fields all his life. What did he have in his short, limited yard in the back? He was planting all kinds
of
vegetables.
Yeah.
A garden. Organic, by the way.
I got that one.
And, you know, they could take on reading. There's crafts. The internet is going to be a wonderful place for them to be able to socialize with people. Many are getting into Facebook.
How about those that are very strong-willed?
Many
are very, when you said they were very independent and made the choices and very strong-willed that, you know what, they don't even want. You just...
That's what,
that's the way. And they're still very capable
and
of doing things on their own.
Yeah, and that's what we call obstinate, which is stubborn. A lot of them have the sense of interpersonal sensitivity. No, don't go tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. No, don't tell me to take my pills. I know I'm supposed to take my pills.
Good for them.
Well, I mean, I should have said, they still, you know.
Get off the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
No. This is what I want to do. I make my own decisions. Don't go tell me.
Oh, no, not being the sofa. Being actually lifting heavy stuff.
I am the boss of me. I get that. That's a good
idea. I could do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the same energy that's going to get them through whatever
process.
Well, first
of all,
the thing is,
how do you do it? Because here, all of a sudden, you as a person who's the professional coming to their homes and you're coming to somebody that is elderly, that has a lot of wisdom, has a lot of age, and has done everything by themselves, very independent, and then you come and you're telling them what to do.
Yeah. Well, Maria...
How do you... Because a lot of listeners here might have elderly family that are exactly like that.
Well, Maria, here's
the thing. How can they work?
Yeah. No pill has been proven to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
One has to decide... This is what I got to do with my life. You could only provide the opportunity, provide the ideas, provide the information. They have to take up that football and run. They have to decide, you know what? I think my daughter's right. I think my son's right. I think I got to try something new and see how that works out.
And I'm only saying this because I probably will be one of the elderly people that are very stubborn, still want to wear my 4.5-inch heels at age 70.
And I'll be wearing my sandals.
You'll be wearing your
and
sandals,
Maria,
and saying, you know, I don't think that's good for your back. I don't care.
You know, Maria, and I hope...
I still look good.
I hope that don't happen because a lot of them start getting symptoms like psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
They start getting these delusions that they want to put me away. They want me at a skilled nursing facility. my kids don't come see me because I'm no good no more. So I hope that, you know, a lot of individuals in this situation right now are being able to find different opportunities, be able to refocus themselves and say, okay, what is this I'm able to do now? Realistically, you know, an 80-year-old man is not going to be able to climb up like John Wayne on a horse and, you know, take off and...
Except her grandpa. Or her dad. Her dad, yeah.
You know, and...
My dad does.
What is the risk of type of injury that... What is, yeah, you know, the consequence
and
of
it, and is it worth the risk for your current enjoyment? And it may be. It, yeah, may be. So it sounds like you got two different things. It sounds like you've got one. Are you able to accept where you're at right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with it? And then,
yeah,
two... I mean, because ultimately, if you're able to say, I'm perfectly okay watching TV in the dark all day,
yeah,
and there's no problem with that, then you're fine, right?
That's
you're fine.
Because
there's no distress,
different.
There's no anxiety,
yeah,
there's no,
it's
I'm not sad about it.
I would
it.
Like to see them, yeah, doing other, right, stuff, but if they're happy, right, doing that, hey.
So there's that, but then if they're not happy with it, if they really don't want to be that person, then it's like, okay, so what can you do? And maybe you couldn't do the things you could do yesterday.
What other things can we do different?
But
what can
we
do?
Yeah, exactly.
Something.
Well, you know, there's one thing that research has provided information that 25% of people over 65 suffer from depression.
That's almost a quarter of them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Actually,
and the thing about it is, as we all know, that's only reports. That's people who go and talk to a doctor and
yeah, the rest of them are just not happy.
Yeah, and that's where
I know some happy elders. They're cool.
Yeah, that's where a lot of mental health services could come in. They could be able to provide some psychotherapy for people who are in need of any type of trying to figure things out.
If their insurance benefits pay for it, hello.
Okay. Oh yes. That's a big one.
Well, you know, mental health is a big thing, you know, during these times. A lot of people are accepting the fact that, yes, I'm suffering depression, I'm suffering anxiety, I'm suffering from loneliness. And a lot of people are more sophisticated now. The elderly is more sophisticated. They're able to take things and into their own hands and say, listen, I'm going to have to get some help.
Okay, so so put yourself in that person's position. Okay, so I've got Medicare. I've got, you know, my old person's health insurance, right? And I've heard this show, and I'm saying, you know what? That sounds like me, man. Because I've been sitting around the last couple of years just thinking it's not any fun anymore. I've lost important people in my life. My circle of friends is smaller. My family's busy and doesn't seem to care. You know, all that stuff's kind of adding up, and I don't feel very good. So now I'm going to go get some health care. I'm going to go get some depression, psychotherapy. Fine. Where would I go? I mean, what if I go down to the assessment center at Behavioral Health and they say, hi, yeah, you're depressed, but you're not really depressed enough. And so now I go to my private care provider or Clinicus or wherever my Medicare is accepted. And they say, well, would you like to try some Prozac? And then you're like, no, I'd like Freud, thank you. And so how do you manage that if you're an elder and you really do want that sort of supportive service and you can't seem to find it available? Maybe you find a psychologist in the community and they say, yeah, I'll put you on a waiting list, and if you live to be 93, I can probably get you in for an intake. You know.
Wow, yeah, that's harsh.
You know, that's an excellent question, Scott. And I'll tell you, when I did some anxiety and depression groups in the Blossom Inn, rather in the day out in back of the Blossom Inn, and
Sounds like a stealth operation or something.
A lot of these people...
Meet us out behind the hotel. Right?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of these people were eager
to come in
and able to express themselves. And you're right. Sometimes it's difficult to access this type of services. And, of course, behavioral health services just go by a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, say, no, I should be entitled to this. I'd rather go to a casino and spend $100 a shot instead of getting mental health treatment. They have priorities. Many priorities are
not... Well, if you're on SSI, food is like the priority in paying your light bill, right?
Yeah, but those are the people who qualify, because
if they're impaired enough, right? I mean,
well, Medi-Cal, if you qualify for Medi-Cal, you qualify for you know, behavioral health services, and the income for one individual, I believe, is $1,200 and $1,400 around that ballpark figure.
And then
for a couple of two.
And then you have people that, you know what, they don't want to get any, you know, the people that were born in back in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, how they grew up.
I did it my way.
Yeah, no, and the thing is,
Sinatra generation.
Sometimes they don't want things given to them.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't want no charity, and I don't want, they're very stubborn. But there are some entitlements, like services from the VA, because they were veterans, because they provided service to the military, to our country. And so they okay, I will accept those services. But other services, like Medi-Cal,
and we've got
Medicare,
those local now, right?
Yeah, we do.
So you don't have to drive
exactly.
to San Diego anymore.
And they're like, no, I don't want any. Even though it helps them, like food stamps, no.
I was self-reliant on my life.
Exactly, yes.
And for me to ask for something is
exactly.
charity.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about it, that mindset
yes.
really has to be modified.
And so they suffer. They can, you know, go.
Well, yeah, you have to do cost-benefit thing. Is accepting the charity, is the emotional pain that
it's
comes with
it's not charity.
That.
It's.
Well, no, yeah, it is. It's okay.
Well, yeah, I know.
It
but maybe you
okay.
can make you name it. Name it.
Is it
rename
worth
it
more
difference?
To you than suffering whatever you're suffering that the charity could relieve? You know?
And that emotional distress, what are the consequences? Again, they begin to develop cardiovascular problems. They begin to experience, you know, a lot of organ problems.
I thought that was the donuts I eat for breakfast every day.
What's that?
The result of my cardiovascular and organ problems.
Oh, no. You know, I mean, it affects a person's physical health.
So how you feel emotionally?
What
you
brain
can actually fix you physically.
The negative messages that the brain sends to the body, it starts affecting an individual. You know, going back to the question again, who an optimistic person would be obviously more healthy than a pessimistic person.
Or at least they'd feel better about their current state of health.
So, being able to get rid of the stigma that it's a mental health condition, and that it's a normal response to the stressors. It's a normal response to the economic factors affecting my life, to the family dynamic issues. And I tell you, many couples decide to have a lot of kids. Why? Because they don't want to be lonely.
So somebody takes mm-hmm. care of my sorry. You know what, when I get older.
I'm going to have 8 kids because I don't want to be left alone. I want somebody to take care of me.
Adopt me.
Yeah. And Maria and Guess Scott, what? That's not the case because I've been to those homes. A lot of disappointments.
Ooh, bummer.
A lot of disappointments.
Maybe if I have one more kid, that'll be the magic one.
Yeah.
No.
So that goes
kids
back.
Kids have their mind of their own. They'll do whatever they want.
That goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Will they, like, get restraining orders if I start to stalk them when I'm trying to find a place to live when I'm homeless and, you know, like, 85?
Well, you know, and again, that goes in with the hostility where they say, okay, you don't want to visit me, don't come at all. But, Dad, it's because I'm working 7 days a week. I have to take the kids to practice. I don't care. Just don't come at all. I know you don't want to come. Don't come see me. Or the daughter comes in. Mom, I brought you some food here. You don't have to do that. You know, don't waste your time. I'll handle it myself. You didn't come last week for my birthday, so
ooh.
I it's okay. I mm-hmm. did it on my own for a long time. I don't need you coming back. Mm-hmm. So that,
you had a birthday last. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know that creates another.
My
another
outlook
problem.
Must not have been working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you couple that, Maria. You couple that with different type of problems, of course. We have the economic factors. We have the social isolations. We have the medical conditions, strokes. You know, that's very
losses
dominant.
Of loved ones. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be
loved ones and friends.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When you know, by 65, half of the females lost their partners.
I'm pushing 50. I'm actually like right there. And I've stopped reading the obituaries because A, people my age were dying, and B, I knew people, you know, and it was like, okay, this is just getting a little bit too familiar to me.
You know, and what happens to a female, and they had their life partner with them throughout their lives, making decisions together, going on trips together?
I'm in a long-term relationship, I'll tell you. We
I make the decision.
We have a shared brain. So half of the family memories are stored in her brain, and half are stored in my brain. And so when inevitably something happens that we're no longer together, we're going to lose the relationship because half of it was stored somewhere else. So it's like having a favorite.
So you better download it on a hard drive.
I wish I could, because she carries really special memories, very specific memories that I don't have the same way, and I have to go to her to get those.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, I do the same.
Yeah, and that makes you think about our mortality. Now, what's going to happen to me? I'm the lone survivor, and then there's survivor guilt. A whole bunch of new issues coming up. So it's something that really is going to be addressed. So,
well, for some people, they start a new phase of their life.
Yes.
You know, they get, you know, they've lost their loved one. They've been together for 30, 40 years. They lose them, and then a lot of them remake their life because, you know, that is their choice, that they have the right to be happy also with somebody else.
And it's not easy to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. And how do you cope with loss? How do you cope with loneliness?
Because being old makes that a regular challenge. You know, it's less noticeable when you're young. It's less noticeable when you're middle-aged. When you're older, coping with loss becomes the thing that you're dealing with. Loss mm-hmm. of physicality, loss of economic resources, loss of loved ones and friends. And
yeah, so, you know, and some have maladaptive ways of coping. 17% of elderly adults.
Well, it's heavy, dude. You know,
they engage in alcohol, self-medication. Not only self-medication, prescription medication mm-hmm. for pain.
Well, and TV, watching TV all day is numbing. Wouldn't you say that's a nice kind of, like, not very adaptive coping thing?
Yeah, and when one's bereaved, when one's grieving for the loss, they begin to exhibit those vegetative symptoms.
Yeah, going on elder single cruises and maxing out your credit cards.
You know, and that's right there a point, Scott. There's a lot of elderly groups going on different places. The Villages in Florida is an excellent example, where people could pay so much and they have golf courses, recreations, activities. Just here in Pearl County, Mineral Hot Springs. It's a community for the elderly. And mm-hmm. it's a wonderful place. I've seen patients there. They have their mobile homes there. They have activities. They have a whole bunch of things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of places here. The apartments, the Polynesian. There's some money for senior apartments. Yeah.
So it's something that is really important for people to understand, that this phase of life is not easy, but they could be able to learn coping techniques to be able to deal with it and live more fulfilled life, more quality life, rather than my life is over, that's it, and shut mm-hmm. down.
Yeah, I could say, and Maria's not going to do that.
Yeah.
I can feel just that whole mindset is not where she's going to be at. It's going to be like,
then, you know,
time to find a new gear.
You know, I really recommend a lot of seniors to be able to start going online, to be able to take advantage of this technology that we have. It's really easy to use, and if they're able to do that, that's going to get them more out of themselves, so they won't be self-absorbed. They want to be able to focus out rather than internal.
Get on Facebook and watch your grandchildren's being self-absorbed.
Well, you know,
spectate.
And not only that, you got Google Earth. My God, I could go
which
to
is
Los
very
Angeles.
Cool.
I could go to Los Angeles and go to my neighborhood.
And
walk,
I've done that.
Walk down the street to my elementary school.
Yes, I've done that.
I could go to Mexico City, if I was born there, which I wasn't.
My kid moved to Boston, right? And he said, yeah, okay, I got a new apartment. Here's where it's at. I was talking to him on the phone. I went to Google Earth, and I said, so it's painted green. And is that Nissan still parked out in front? It looks like it hasn't been moved in 6 years. And it was weird because we were having a conversation. I could see his home. I could see where he lived. I could
see
his
street.
Did he walk
out and say hi?
Yeah, and no, because it wasn't live.
I know.
And somebody who's elderly that live in their own trailer
could go back to their home that they grew up in if they wanted.
Yeah, they could even exaggerate a little bit of going to Paris and walk through the streets and say, yeah, I've been to Paris. Have you been to this shop here in the corner of 31st and San Diego Avenue in Paris? Wow, this guy is going over the world. But it's in a different fashion.
But you got me fired up, Renee.
But it's great.
But they also have to be educated on how to use the internet because
there's
a lot of
economic access.
Yeah, economic access.
Google Earth is so elementary.
But they can have. There's a lot of scams.
Well, yeah. How to operate a mouse? Okay.
Maria, you're right about the scams because it's important to be able to have good protection on your internet.
Mm-hmm.
On your computer, because what is it, McAfee? They got a whole bunch of different ones that are reliable, that are able to protect you. However, with Google Earth, I don't think that's much of a threat because you could go into Google Earth. I think, if I'm not mistaken, without being on the internet once you download it.
I think you're right. I don't know if you can go street by street though. You may need. That's a pretty big download.
Yeah, that would be a huge download.
But those opportunities are there for the elderly to be able to remodify their lives, to be able to think about new ways of living.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not easy, but our mindset is learned from when we're little kids, and we keep that same type of attitude, that same type of belief system, mm-hmm. and the same type of defense mechanisms.
So if any elder has heard this today and they're like, okay, yeah, you're right, I'm tired of struggling, I'm tired of kind of marginalizing myself, and having heard this, I realize it's time to get up and get shaken here. Where would they go for help?
Yeah. Pick yourself up by bootstraps.
Would they come down to see you guys?
Yes. In Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, they offer two great programs for the elderly. There's the SAS and the PROS program.
And so if they say that they heard about it from Renee, will they get, like, free stuff?
Well, they don't get free
services.
Stuff. You know.
Services. They'll get services.
You know, I don't want anybody to come up and say, I have a Renee's coupon here. Can you please give me 50%
redemption.
Off?
There you go.
And, they could call the 482-4000 number, and they could be able to inquire into
the SAS or the PROS program.
What the programs entail. And this way, that's it again, Maria and Scott, being more active participants, advocating for themselves, being able to say, hey, I got to find out what this is about.
So there's no reason to have kind of this suffering, shut down, painful life. If people are doing that, or if you know people doing that, they can come and seek help and get help and reinvent themselves at any age.
Of course. When you victimize yourself, it's hard to get out of that.
Right.
You feel powerless. When you gain those tools to be able to go on with life, to be able to say, sure, this may be my last day of my life, and I got to live to the fullest. And not worry about the future years or whatever, because, you're already in the advanced stages, and you got to make the best out of it. What do they call it? The twilight years?
I have no idea.
No, the twilight years are when you're like 17 and fall in love with a vampire.
Oh. Yes, that's the twilight.
Okay. But you understand what I'm saying, that we have to try to make the best out of life. I don't care.
We don't have to, but why not, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. With every stage of life, no matter if you were in the elementary years, adolescence, there were always different issues, different problems attached to it. When you get into the outer stage, there's medical problems, there's obvious other problems detached from family members. And we have to understand that goes with the territory. So if you were able to handle situations in the past, how are you able to think about these situations in the present? What is it that you could do to be able to say, okay, I got to take charge of my life. I did it throughout.
Yeah, you get a track record, huh?
Yes.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of another fun-filled and exciting show. How was it for you, Renee? What's the process?
It was great. I thank you very much for inviting me here, and you know, I look forward to coming here again.
Okay. Did you? I don't remember. Maybe she didn't know.
Yeah, she sent me a great
I'm sure
old
somebody invited you.
She sent me a great old big old invitation.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yes.
Thanks, appreciate it. And again, remember, seniors, snowbirds, whatever. Hey, it's on podcast. Mario's already editing out the silly things that we say that don't make any sense, which is most of the show. No. And it will be up on podcast. You can play it in your community centers. You can play it in your seniors' dances as kind of a little break thing in between the salsa and the merengue. Enjoy yourselves and keep yourselves safe. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Yes, keep yourself warm.
And thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week. And next week we'll have Selena Gonzalez. She's a counselor for the El Centro
and
Elementary
School
District. She's going to
bully us or something.
It's where she's going to talk about the bullying, which is very important. It happens, you know, on the internet, on the school grounds. On now, it happens all the time, 24/7. And the STAR process, the Student Attendance Review Board.
Great. Join us then.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.